this morning is number 135094, Lakeshore Engineering Services against the United States. Mr. Abernathy.
Thank you, Your Honor. It pleases the court, Phil Abernathy on behalf of Lakeshore Engineering Services, the appellant. The whole concept of the contract, which is at issue in this case, is that the successful bidding contractor was required to perform any and all construction services requested of it by the government at Fort Rucker, Alabama, over a five-year period. Now, at the time the bids went in for that work, nobody knew what those construction services were going to entail over that five-year period, and they couldn't be priced. So what the government did was to incorporate an entire book of prices called the Gordian Book, UPB, over 2,500 pages, over 70,000 line items of individual construction activities, and this book gave the direct cost in that area for those activities.
And then how can you just explain mechanically how the dollar figure for each subsequent order was calculated?
Let's assume the government said to the contractor, we want you to install 10,000 square feet of sheetrock. You would go to the book, you would look up finished sheetrock, and it might give a dollar a square foot. The direct cost to the contractor, the price to the contractor then would be $10,000 to install 10,000 square feet of finished drywall. Now, what the contractor priced in his bid was a coefficient factor, a multiplier. And that was to cover the contractor's indirect costs, home office, field office overhead.
Right. So now you have you said 1,000 square feet, 10,000 square feet,
$1 square feet. $1.
Okay. And then what do you do with this coefficient, and which of the coefficients do you use?
The coefficient is a multiplier, and it was bid by the contractor. In this case, Lakeshore Engineers bid 1.28.
That's for the regular hour work?
That's the markup, the indirect cost. So you would take the 1.28, what the contractor is saying is, I'm going to bid 28% of the direct cost for indirect costs. So you would take the 1.28, multiply it by the $10,000, and that would be the total cost paid to the contractor.
I don't actually think this has anything to do with the issues, but I'm just confused. There's a regular hour coefficient and an overtime hour, and I literally do not understand where hours fit into this.
Well, hours could be in the labor rate. In other words, to install the 10,000 square feet of drywall, it may be 100 hours. If everybody agrees that's going to be expedited overtime work, then a different factor would apply, like 1.5. But the base rate that the contractor bid was 1.28.
So do you? But how do you tell when they say build this drywall? Is there a determination of the number of hours it will take, and how many of them are regular, and how many are?
That would have to be agreed on between the contractors in what they call the pre-construction meeting, as to what factor would apply.
Okay.
But the key thing was the multiplier.
I have a couple questions just about what you've said so far.
Okay.
And they're related. One is that as you laid it out, it kind of sounded as if you got this Gordian book and these are the prices and this is what the cost is and everybody's on board that this is precisely the cost. And I'm not sure why you think that's the case. And the second kind of piece of that is when you mentioned the coefficient and what it was based on, I think you just mentioned the indirect cost. And my understanding, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that the solicitation also indicated that the coefficient was also necessary to account for business risks. So, and that would be beyond the indirect cost. That, in my view, would cover things like inflation, or availability of supply and stuff like that. So if you could respond.
Yes, Your Honor, that's certainly the key question. We all know who's going to bear the risk if the contractor's bid for the coefficient is wrong. Let's assume his actual costs were going to be 40%, but he only bid 25%. He's going to have to eat the difference. The issue before you today is who bears the risk if the book prices are wrong? If the direct cost in that book for the local price of installing 10,000 square feet of drywall turns out to be $2 a square foot instead of $1 in the book, does the contractor eat that 100% overrun? Is that his risk? And the answer to that is found simply in four pages in the record. And I hope you'll look carefully at these four pages. First, you look at A355. This is the introduction to the Gordian book. It's called Section Zero of the Gordian book. And at A355, the Gordian book set out what the coefficient was to cover. And the last paragraph on that page says it's to cover business risk, including inflation and material cost fluctuations. Then the next page of the record, A356, the publishers of the Gordian book went even further and made it even clearer. On the second column, second paragraph under price variations, the publisher said, while diligent effort is made to provide accurate and reliable up-to-date pricing, it is the responsibility of the contractor to verify the unit prices and to modify their adjustment factor accordingly. So if the government wanted to place the burden on the contractor, there's the language. It was given to them by the publisher of the Gordian book. All the government had to do was incorporate that language in the contract, and it would have been clear who had the risk. The government did just the opposite. They deleted that language we just talked about from the contract.
Well, I guess your conclusion is based on certain assumptions, and I'm not, I guess, following you all the way. Assuming they didn't put this in, that doesn't mean that they said necessarily the opposite of that, right? And it seems like you're saying, well, because they didn't put this information in, then they guaranteed the opposite of that. And I'm not following why that's necessarily so. And the other point is, the one I referred to earlier, was that I thought in the solicitation, at least, they did talk about the coefficient accounting for business risks. And I think some of the stuff you talk about, availability, inflation, and that sort of stuff, comes within the rubric of business risks. And therefore, indeed, portions of this were, in fact, covered in the solicitation.
Your Honor, my point is based on this. These two sections we just looked at in the record, if they had been incorporated into the contract, would have clearly defined who had the risk. Instead, the government deleted Section Zero of the Gordian book. It incorporated only sections 1 through 16 of the book, which were the prices. The introduction.
This, I think, would bear some clarification. They didn't explicitly delete it. They didn't mention it. And so that by, I think, a fair reading at that stage would have been perhaps that Section Zero wasn't included. However, it was provided.
It was an attachment, Your Honor.
It was attached, and it was there.
And the reason
one would assume that the contractor observed it and would ordinarily have observed the difference in the statement as to business risk of, let's say, major price changes from the Gordian book, as opposed to what would be sufficiently small so that one wouldn't fight about it.
And that's the key, because the contractor could read Section Zero in the attached Gordian book, and then they would read in the solicitation that Section Zero was not incorporated into the contract.
But it didn't say Section Zero is excluded. It just didn't mention it.
It said Sections 1 through 16 are incorporated into the contract. But the government didn't stop there. They went one step further. They went into Section Zero of the Gordian book, and they picked out certain language, and they put it in the contract. They cherry-picked language from Section Zero and put it into the contract. For instance, on business risk, we saw what the Gordian book said about business risk at A355. Here's what the government said about business risk in the solicitation at, that will be at A292. They said the coefficient will cover other risk of doing business, i.e., risk of lower than expected contract dollar value, risk of poor subcontractor performance and reperformance, period. They took out those key words, inflation.
Can you tell me where on 292 you're referring to?
The fourth line from the bottom.
Okay.
Other risk of doing business. They specifically took out. You remember the Gordian book mentioned subcontractor performance and reperformance, and it followed it immediately by inflation and material cost fluctuations. The government picked out subcontractor performance, put it in the contract. They did not put in material cost escalation and inflation. Then we looked at earlier what the Gordian book said about the risk being on the contractor for incorrect prices. Well, here's what the government did. You'll see at A321, the government has a whole paragraph in the contract about a contractor responsibility. They deleted that section that was in the Gordian book that we just looked at that said while diligent effort is made, it's up to the contractor to include in his coefficient any risk of incorrect prices. That appears nowhere in the contract, even though they cherry-picked from Section 0 and put certain language in the solicitation, they eliminated all language about the contractor's risk and the risk of inflation. Your Honor, that's the key.
Can I just ask, Judge Allegra said that if you look at the introduction, the Division 0, any reader of the rest of the chapters 1 through 16 would have to rely on Division 0 to understand and use the rest, and therefore necessarily, though not explicitly, it's incorporated. Is the premise right that if you just snipped out Division 0, could somebody reasonably use 1 through 16 and follow it and without saying, I don't know what this means, I need an instruction manual or something?
If you took out all of Division 0
right.
and you just read that part of Division 0 that the government put into the solicitation, you could follow it. It would make sense. It would tell the contractor what to do. And at the pre-construction, pre-bid conference, nobody said we don't understand it. It was clear what they were doing. Now, the lower court judge was correct, in my opinion, when he said the publishers of the book could not have been clearer. And that's true. And all the government had to do, if they wanted to be just as clear, was incorporate Section 0 into the specifications and into the contract. They did not. They cherry-picked language from Section 0 and specifically eliminated the language about the contractor risk, of the prices being wrong, about inflation, and about cost fluctuations. I'm going to reserve the rest of my time, but I hope counsel for the government will give you one logical, reasonable, persuasive reason why the government, if it wanted to put the risk on the contractor of the price book being wrong, would have deleted the very language used by the publishers of the book to put that risk on the contractor.
All right. We'll ask Ms. McCarthy that question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Abernathy.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The trial court correctly concluded below that Lakeshore should not be able to negate the fixed price term of its contract by essentially trying to convert it into a cost reimbursement contract. Division 0 was not excluded from the contract, if I could just directly address Lakeshore's primary argument. If you draw Your Honor's attention to page 320 of the Joint Appendix, it makes it very clear that the entire Gordian book is attached to the contract.
Let me tell you what is so troublesome to me about this case. The record is full of direct admissions and statements by varying contracting officers that they knew that the price of steel and other prices had spiked after Katrina. And they raised concern about whether those prices were accurately reflected in the Gordian book. And on that record, how can the government insist in good conscience that a contractor who relied on the prices in the Gordian book, that it wasn't either unilateral mistake or mistake on the part of the government or mutual mistake when there it turned out and was observed by the government that there was this significant discrepancy between what was in the book and what we're now trying to hold the contractor to and the actual situation? I gather that it's undisputed that the actual situation was as the varying contracting officers, and as the record shows in their testimony, that they knew that something was wrong, that something had happened, and
yes,
that the
Honor.
Book wasn't current.
Yes, Your Honor.
So why is it conscionable for our great government to hold, nonetheless, this contractor to what you know were the wrong prices?
Your Honor, with all respect, I would say that's that's not what the record demonstrates below, and that's not what Judge Allegra found below. What the record demonstrates below is that there was concern within the government and that the Gordian Group was asked to update the prices in 2006, which it did. And there's no dispute that the prices were updated. There is not a scintilla of evidence in the record that there was anything wrong about the prices as on the date this contract was awarded.
They haven't been updated.
They have been updated. It's now agreed
that they were inaccurate. That, I think, is not disputed.
With all due respect, Your Honor, it is vigorously disputed. There is no question but that Lakeshore made a profit on more than half of the job orders here.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the price of steel and so the major aspects that they are disputing.
The price of steel was due to an inflation spike that the Lakeshore says that could not have been predicted.
That isn't what your contracting officers testified to. They referred to the hurricane. They referred to what had happened in that part of the world and at least raised a question as to whether the book had been appropriately updated for those areas.
Well, Your Honor,
not whether there was a profit on other aspects of the project.
Your Honor, Judge Allegra dealt with that disputed testimony within footnote 17 of his opinion. And the fact of the matter is The fact of the matter is that Lakeshore knew that Gordian was not verifying the accuracy of the prices, did not guarantee the accuracy of the prices. Lakeshore itself admits that it applied a 6%, that it carefully, and this is at page 843 of the Joint Appendix, in its price proposal, it admits that it carefully considered and analyzed the Gordian book as it was instructed to do in Division Zero. It did exactly what it was told to do in Division Zero. And based on its own historical practice, it found that the prices were too low, and it applied a 6% upward adjustment based on its own historical experience, which is exactly what it was supposed to do according to the Gordian book, according to Vision Zero. It knew that it was supposed to do this, and it did do this, and it applied an adjustment, a 6% adjustment factor. It did not rely on the Gordian book prices. It provided a 6% adjustment upward factor. It took a business risk, and that's what a fixed price contract is. It made a profit on more than 50% of the job items here. It is asking for a conversion of its contract from a fixed price term to a cost reimbursement contract.
At what stage does a significant discrepancy from what both sides believe become a business risk as opposed to a mutual mistake of fact?
There are four elements of a mutual mistake of fact, and as Judge Allegra found below, none of the four elements has been established here because, again, there is not a scintilla of evidence on the record that there was any systematic problem with the pricing in the Gordian book. Otherwise, they would not have made a profit on more than 50% of the job items.
Can I ask you just specifically about that? If you can clarify some aspects of timing. There was an earlier contractor, which Lakeshore, I think, had some discussions with, and
Correct.
The earlier contractor said something like the prices, some set of prices are inaccurate and we can't go forward, something like that.
Yes.
And roughly what was the time that earlier contractor identified the prices as erroneous?
I believe that was shortly before the timing of this contract. I'm sorry, I can't be precise.
Okay, and but you said that the Gordian Company did some updating
its
book. Was that subsequent to the earlier contractor's problem?
Yes, Your Honor. And Lakeshore's problem is not that they didn't do the update. That they didn't update all 77 items that they did, that it wasn't an exhaustive updating. But again, the Lakeshore was well aware of this. Lakeshore analyzed these prices. Lakeshore is a
no. I'm just trying to. Seems to me there are kind of at least two different things going on here. One is, did they, with eyes open, understand that the prices they were starting from could not be relied on, and therefore assume the risk? And the second is there evidence that the actual prices as of the time of the contract were inaccurate? And I think you're making both points.
Yes, absolutely. There can be no question that they had actual notice by Division Zero of the Gordian book, which they read and they were given and they were provided by the government, and we disagree that it was not incorporated in the contract. I think they're relying on the revision, page 320, for instance, the solicitation, which refers to divisions 1 through 16. It's talking about incorporating them in parallel. If you read that language in context, for instance, it says the UUPB, which is the Gordian book, consists of divisions 1 through 16 that are applicable, divisions 1 through 16 of the job order contract technical specifications. Well, it would have been nonsensical to there was no correlation to division 0 in the job order contract technical specifications, so it would have been absurd to make a reference to division 0 there. But I will, to page 321, there's a reference to the incorporation of abbreviations in the UUPB. Modified for Fort Rucker is provided with that volume, which, and those abbreviations are found in Division Zero at page 321 of the Joint Appendix. Page 358 of the Joint Appendix. Those are where the abbreviations are. So the notion that the contract, that the government deliberately excluded Division Zero has no support in the text of the contract. It has no support in the economic price adjustment clause, which was specifically only for the option period. There was no incorporation of the FAR economic price adjustment clause. If Lakeshore had any problems with the terms of solicitation, it was required under this court's precedent in Blue Gold to raise an objection to the terms of the solicitation if they thought they were incompatible with the FAR prior to bidding on the contract. That's what it was supposed to do.
I'm just going to ask you to repeat something because I didn't quite get it. Your first point about why the language on 320 mm-hmm. that refers to divisions 1 through 16 don't really implicitly exclude division 0 was what?
Yes.
It was what is my question? I did explain that to me.
Okay, my point is that if one looks at page 320 in context, it makes it clear that the following documents are attachments, and then there's the job order contract technical specifications, which are provided separately by Compact Disc, and then B is the Gordian book, and that's attached to the contract, including
right.
Division Zero. And there's no question here that Lakeshore received Division Zero. And as Judge Allegra said, Division Zero is an explanation for how to use these prices. To the extent that paragraph B2, if Your Honor's on page 320 with me, the extent that it refers to only divisions 1 through 16. I agree. I would agree with Lakeshore if it said that UPB consists of divisions 1 through 16 and it stopped there. I would agree that we might have a problem. But it continues to say that are applicable to divisions 1 through 16 of the job order contract technical specifications. And it would have been absurd for the government to specify division 0 there because there's no counterpart to division 0. I mean, this language has to be read in context. And there, at no point does the government say, we are excluding division 0 here. We are verifying the accuracy of prices that the Gordian Group itself is explicitly not verifying. That is
Can I ask you the same question I asked Mr. Abernathy? Judge Allegra said that divisions 1 through 16 don't make enough sense to be used effectively without division 0, and therefore anybody would understand that division 0 was going along as part of any incorporation of 1 through 16. Can you explain why that's so? And in particular, I think Mr. Abernathy said maybe without anything else, division 1 through 16 couldn't be effectively used. But it could be effectively used with what's in the contract, your contract, so that Judge Allegra was wrong to say that you need Division Zero for a contractor under this contract to use Division 1 through 16.
Well, I think Judge Allegra was saying that if one looks at Division Zero, it's six pages of explicit directions, and it makes it very clear what the contractor is supposed to consider in doing this bid adjustment, and this is really the contractor's opportunity to use baseline government estimate or baseline prices and take its own expertise and calibrate its own willingness to do a trade-off between what, how much risk am I willing to take to win the contract versus what do I need to do to be a responsible contractor so that I can actually perform the contract and make a reasonable profit, which I repeat, it did on more than 50% of the line items here. And there's a lot of direction on pages 355 and 356.
Right, but let me just to make sure you understand my question to the extent I can make it clear.
I feel like I'm not answering it. I'm sorry.
Could somebody use Division 1 through 16 if they simply never had seen Division 0?
One could conceivably use it, but they would be using it. They may be using it erroneously, and the risk of that would be on them, which is why there's these explicit directions.
But if they had the rest of your contract, would any errors in use of 1 through 16 be cleared up?
Oh, I see, Your Honor. I do not know. I think there is not a full recapitulation of the Gordian book instructions in the solicitation.
Not a full recapitulation.
But there is a partial recapitulation.
The question is enough recapitulation to negate Judge Allegra's conclusion that a contractor could not effectively use 1 through 16 without 0, and therefore must have understood that 0 was going along for the ride.
I would say not, Your Honor, because on page 356 it describes general costs, and it says this list is not exhaustive and intended to provide general examples of cost items to be included in the contractor's adjustment factors as defined in the contract. Then it continues to say the only compensation to be paid to a contractor, and it explains how these prices will be. How the compensation will be calculated by the union task price, and then it says no additional payments going on to page 357 of any kind whatsoever will be made. Then there's general interpretations of working height, field, and engineering. There's a lot of text here that's not included within the solicitation itself. And Lakeshore is correct; the solicitation itself did list some of these factors. There was not identical wording. We can see that. But then in terms of the solicitation itself made it very clear that it was a non-exhaustive list, and it's most certainly referred to business risk. And again, reading everything, taking all the contract terms, including the limited economic price adjustment for only the option years, leads...
Can I take you back? I'm sorry. Do you feel like you've responded to Toronto? I just want to take you back to one of the threads that Judge Newman included, or at least as I heard her, in her questions, which is leaving sort of a little to the side the Gordian book question and the accuracy of those numbers. I mean, in this circumstance, we have an instance where subsequent to that, prices of steel spiked. We have the additional costs and the, inflation that no one could have necessarily predicted as a result of Katrina. So in those circumstances where this isn't a contractor trying to rip off the government, these are practical issues that arose, why shouldn't the government bear some of the obligations with respect to those subsequent unforeseeable events?
Thank you, Your Honor. I see I'm out of time, but I actually wanted to have a chance because I think one of the primary arguments Lakeshore is making is that the government was somehow acting in bad faith because there's a provision in the contract to grant equitable adjustments. And equitable adjustments, why wasn't the government grant an equitable adjustment? Here, the government really shouldn't be granting an equitable adjustment because this is the type of risk that the structure of the contract is a fixed price term with very limited economic price adjustments. This is not a cost reimbursement contract. And this is not something the contract allocated the risk between the parties, and it may be harsh, but this is what the contractor bargained for. And when the government is not responsible, this is not a case where the government is responsible for delay, which is typically when the government.
So the government's position is that the risk of hurricane and natural catastrophe is part of the type of the risk that's normally borne by anybody who deals with the government.
It depends on how the contract allocates that risk, and in this contract, with the economic price adjustment factor, the contractor was bore the risk of inflation that's not covered by the very limited economic price adjustment factor to which it agreed. If it didn't want to have that risk, it didn't have to bid on the contract. It didn't have to take this contract. And this is not a hardship because this contractor has borne a profit on more than 50% of its line items, so it got the benefit of its bargain. And the government here is not acting in bad faith when it does not grant an equitable adjustment to which the contractor has no legal entitlement under the terms of the contract to which it agreed. And
can I just ask one more question? Explain to me how you distinguish the Spearin case.
Sure, Your Honor. The Spearin case involves design specifications when the government is warranting and saying, if you follow this, I'll use a cake or cookbook, if you follow these cookbook recipe type of directions, and you follow these according to our design specifications, then you will get a product that will work, that will function, and that you will be able to, that it will not not result in cost overruns. And that is something where the contractor can say, if I do what you tell me to do, then I'm not going to lose money. In this case, this was not specifications. The government was not, first of all, the Gordian book itself was explicitly not warranting the accuracy of these. And the government itself was not saying that these prices, or you contractor, a business person in the world can assume that price is going to remain stagnant for a 5-year period of the contract. That's unreasonable for any adult really to think in this business. What they're saying is these are our best guess or our best understanding of the local prices at Fort Rucker, and you consider a variety of factors to make an adjustment to that. There was not the Spearin doctrine really applies in the case where the government is providing specifications for the contractor to follow and do something and make something for the government. Does that answer your question?
Well enough.
Thank you.
Mr. Abernathy.
So the government says only 50% of the prices in the book were wrong. So no harm, no foul. That's simply not the law or the facts. The government still says, well, really, Section 0 was incorporated because it was attached, even though we've now seen that the government specifically said Sections 1 through 16 are incorporated, and even though it cherry-picked language from Section 0 and put in the specifications, why would it cherry-pick language from Section 0 and repeat just certain language in the contract if it incorporated all of Section 0? That simply doesn't make sense.
Can I ask you, what evidence did you have that at the time of the contracting, was that April 2007, actual evidence that the prices in the book were wrong as of then?
There was no evidence that they were wrong as of then. There was evidence from the prior contractor that they were wrong in 06 because of the effects of Hurricane Katrina.
But there had been at least some change. And even the evidence from the previous contractor would be hearsay as to its truth here. Is that right?
Could be hearsay. But what the government told the bidders at the pre-bid conference is, we've updated the book. You now have an updated book modified for Fort Rucker.
Okay, so back to my original question. What evidence did you submit to the trial court that the prices in the updated book were inaccurate as of that date?
It's almost self-proving, Your Honor, because there are detailed cost reports showing what the cost was for Lakeshore to do the work that the government assigned to it. You take those costs, you back out all the overhead, all the general and administrative, all the subcontractor profit, and you're left with direct costs.
That's apples to apples to the book. How do we know that the prices, that your costs, which necessarily were incurred after April 2007, I think your first job was started the end of July, right?
Of 08, I believe, Your Honor.
How do we know that your costs weren't based on changes in the cost of the items from the April 2007 prices in the book?
There's certainly no evidence that there was a dramatic change in that six-month period between contract award and the beginning of work. And we know from the fact that the superficial manner in which the Gordian book tried to update their prices. Out of 2,500 pages, they updated four pages of items. It would boggle the mind if they got it right. They certainly didn't update steel prices, metal prices.
Since it would boggle the mind if they got it right, doesn't that confirm the reasons to think that you knew that you couldn't rely on them at the time?
But the contractors didn't know what the Gordian Group did to update. They were simply told by the government, the Gordian Group has updated this book, and it now is updated and modified for Fort Rucker. We didn't find out until discovery that the Gordian book only did four pages out of the 2,500 pages of updated prices.
What is the relief that's being requested? Is it directed and limited to the difference in the actual cost of the materials as listed in the book?
The direct cost only.
The direct cost only.
If they lost money on markups, they have to eat it. But when you compare direct cost actually incurred on the site during the first and second year of the contract to the direct cost in the Gordian book, the difference should be the relief.
And what was the items in the record, the order of magnitude of
just over $1 million.
Okay. I thought it was closer to $2 million. No?
I think it started out at 1.9. There's an expert report in the record. I'll give you the record number, but I think it was reduced down to between $1 million and that original number.
The estimates went around about five or six different times, didn't they, your expert?
Pardon?
Didn't your expert have them change his estimate five or six different times during
the proceedings? The Lakeshore original damage was based on internal work, and then we later hired a damage expert to put together all the calculations, and that's when the numbers changed. His numbers didn't change five times, but the numbers internally within Lakeshore were changed several times before the expert was hired.
Okay.
In closing.
Okay, you can have the last word.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you both. The case is taken under submission.